Black Rifle Coffee Company set out on a mission to make the best cup of coffee that's ever hit your mug. And I think they've hit that mission straight on. Their dream has been to sell enough premium coffee to build a support network for veterans, first responders, and law enforcement. And thanks to your support, that dream has come true. Black Rifle Coffee is roasted by a veteran-led team of brilliant coffee graders who work tirelessly to roast and bag the highest quality coffee here in America. And the coffee is truly one of a kind and my favorite. Your support has helped Black Rifle Coffee Company expand their team of active duty service members, veterans, and veteran family members, and they were able to donate over 120,000 bags of coffee to veterans and first responders in 2022. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana and use my code Dana at checkout for 20% off your purchase and your first coffee club order. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Use code Dana and also look for Black Rifle Coffee in grocery and convenience stores. Black Rifle Coffee, America's coffee.
Dana Lash, you have a question or comment for the governor?
I do. And thank you both so much for your time, for joining us in a very new way. I really appreciate that. I think it's really cool. And for your support of free speech, too. And Elon, I have to say thank you for taking the arrows and for unthrottling the accounts of all of us who got in trouble for sharing a New York Post story about a laptop. And Governor, I wanted to thank you for your leadership and your unwavering support of Second Amendment rights. And you're on my program tomorrow. And I just got to say, you got my vote in the primary. So I appreciate it very much. You were talking about DEI just a minute ago. And I want to ask you both about this growing threat against natural rights and free enterprise. It's this threat of debanking. Now, I know that, you know, Elon, I've read so much about you and what you've gone through. You've called ESG criteria evil incarnate. Governor DeSantis, Florida, saw financially weaponized wokery earlier this year when Wells Fargo Bank dumped both the business and personal accounts of a very prominent and well-respected gun dealer in Florida. They'd been together for 25 years working with Wells Fargo, and they cited new ESG guidelines. Now, similar to the DOJ's previous Operation Choke Point, all these activists for various causes are using this regulatory guidance to debank what they consider to be politically incorrect businesses for the sake of risk management. Now, we say that our rights should not be infringed upon by the government, but what can and should be done about activist-guided financial institutions and these, you know, payment processors who are essentially cutting off law-abiding citizens and businesses?
Well, I think it's a fundamental issue that I think not enough conservatives have been wise to. I think more and more are. But at the end of the day, we have certain fundamental rights. And so maybe you're somebody that is, really excited about your Second Amendment rights. And obviously, if the government comes in and infringes that, we know you blow the whistle on that. That's a problem. But what if Wall Street banks are colluding so that somebody can't function in that space, whether it's running a store or anything involving that? Your rights are still being infringed upon in that situation. And so I think this whole ESG movement is really trying to do through the financial sector what they could never achieve through the ballot box. And so they're trying to do an end run around the constitutional system. And they're really trying to change policy. They're trying to change society. And they're trying to change the scope of people's rights. And so in Florida, I just signed anti-ESG legislation, which said things like no ESG criteria in our pension fund. We got a $180 billion state pension fund. No social credit scores for consumers when they're going to bank. In other words, if you apply for a loan, that loan should be judged based on your creditworthiness, not whether you're genuflecting to the appropriate left-wing causes.
And that was one of the questions that's, I think, one of the only few things that I've never asked him about. That was from the Twitter Spaces yesterday, which had a very interesting start. We're going to talk about all of that. Welcome to the show. Happy Thursday to you. Top of this first hour. Your lovable curmudgeon, Dana Lash, here with you. The ways you can listen, have it all up online. Coast to coast, stream it, watch the simulcast, either YouTube, Facebook, or Channel 347 DirecTV. The reason I kind of wanted just to give you a lay of the land on how this worked yesterday, and I didn't even find out, I wasn't invited to ask a question, I didn't even know until towards the end of the day, the day before, that you know, you have like five people, it's an hour. I mean, obviously time is tight because you have the CEO of a major company and so you have the CEO of a major company, you know, all of this here, hang on for a second.
Thank you.
And the, you know, you had David Sachs, who is also, you know, he's a partner and works with Musk, all of this. It is to have these, this many people and that type of workload, et cetera, all on one call where you have hundreds of thousands of people also listening. You know, time is tight. So everybody gets like one question. You had five people, everybody gets one question. And the question that I wanted to ask was kind of like two birds, one stone, because I wanted to fit something about obviously Second Amendment in, but also the ESG thing is terrifying because that's one of the things where it doesn't even matter if you're a part of a company. And firearms are just one variable. I mean, if you look at Bitcoin, if you look at, I mean, crypto, anything, there's so many things that are being targeted through the weaponization of these regulations through all of these ESG departments. And it's these regulators and banks are going along with it. And you have activists slash operatives that are involved and they're pushing this stuff through through the guise of risk management. And the example that I gave, and I wanted to set up so people could understand in this question, and I just gave the example of one gun dealer in Florida where, you know, this was an individual who 25 years they had a relationship with. You know, what was it? I think it was Wells Fargo Bank. And after 25 years, Wells Fargo decided, oh, well, you're politically incorrect. These, you know, impolitic businesses that are inconvenient for these activists, they end up severing these relationships. So how is that going to affect you? That's a big thing because we talk about DEI in the schools and we talk about all of this other stuff. But I mean, how is that going to affect you? You're just an, you know, average everyday person. And Musk, I mean, my gosh. They dropped him, what was it, the ESG S&P 500? Because one of the things that they were saying that Musk had done was they were accusing him of racism, even though he made electric cars and he was at least on paper, satisfying all of their green whims. They were accusing him of being a racist Nazi, basically, because he acquired Twitter. So they decided to kick him off. But then they have like a Canadian coal company that's on, like they have a higher ESG rating. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. It's all activist nonsense. That's the whole point. It's activist nonsense. So that was a question that I've never asked. I wanted to ask that question. He's going to be on. The governor's going to be on later today because, as you know, the Twitter spaces, we lost a little bit of time with that. I got to tell you, I know that there was a lot of freaking out over it and people were upset and saying that, oh, this was a, you know, disaster. I don't think that people who I think you have to live and breathe this stuff to think that it was disastrous. I think there's so many drama queens out there. There are so many drama queens out there. I mean, it and I think a lot of it, this is one of the problems with having politics is entertainment because politics can get really stupid really fast and stay stupid for a really long time, right? So the glitches, because I got kicked off like a million times, there were a number of glitches on this. And, you know, it is what it is. I mean, I think they had updated some stuff since the last time they did a Twitter spaces with Elon Musk and the BBC. And something was up with his account that was tripping something. And so they had to reset the servers and then they just moved to set. It's all irrelevant. I mean, honestly, nobody cares. Here's what I think. I think that we complained for a really, really long time as conservatives about having other forms of distribution. And I think we finally get another form of distribution. I don't think that it was hubris to not test it. I mean, I don't know where people are coming up with this thing, why they think that maybe it wasn't tested. I didn't ask that question. I noticed nobody in the press writing about this has asked that question either. They're just running off an assumption. They're just assuming that nothing was ever tested. I don't care about that either. I think it was a fun and new way to do something. And for all of the times that people on the right have complained about having a new channel, a new platform, a new mode of distribution, well, here was the maiden voyage something that can do audio, video. Twitter's not just an aggregate and an amplifier anymore. It's actually breaking news, and it can host these discussions. And Musk said that, you know, he would like to host more discussions with more presidential candidates. So, I mean, it's I don't understand the I'm not going to sit here and have a meltdown over it. And I was the person who was on hold. Wait, you know, I'm not going to sit here and, I mean, it was an hour of my time. I'm not going to sit here and have a meltdown over it. I think it was neat that it was attempted. I think it was something new that was attempted. And it circumvented legacy press. Everyone's like, well, you know, you should be going on cable news. You should announce on cable news and then hold a rally. Oh my gosh. First off, way to keep it boomer. No offense, but way to keep it boomer. I mean, I think that what we've all come to the agreement, no offense, I'm not about to entertain someone whose feelings are so fragile that they're going to get offended with me just saying what I said. I seriously don't care. I'm shutting the door in the face of that. But how, I mean, I think it, like I said yesterday, I think that it is a perfect hat tip to the zeitgeist of the time. It really is. And to do that, I mean, it was just fun and it was cool and nobody, you know, it was, and I think it got really good as it got going. It was a little weird in the beginning, because no one knew if it was going to drop off, you know, and I think people were afraid to really get going with any kind of discussion because they didn't know if it was going to drop off again. And so, but it was, I thought it was great. And people are going to freak out. It's a Rorschach test. The people who are freaking out about it are all the journalists who live on the East Coast. Those are the people who are losing their minds over it. You know, otherwise, I think it was a cool maiden voyage, and there's going to be other discussions. The press was livid. Overdramatic Republicans were livid. Journalists who felt as though they were sort of edged out were livid. And I just, you know, these are the people, no one gives a rat's ass about those people. Not a single one. I like it that it was a nod to the independents and a way to reach out and have moderates here, because you're going to have more moderates listen on that than you are probably on Fox. And that had a bigger audience last night than CNN. At one point, I think there were over 600,000 people until they had to stop and restart the stream, and then they ended up losing half the audience. But see, you have to understand, too, news now anymore is not just about the moment that news is made. News is also about when it's repeated, when it's amplified. Clips don't just exist in a vacuum. I mean, we're still talking about it and playing it and addressing it the next day. So you have media that desperately want to go by the rules of new media, but then when it's convenient for them, they want to live under the regulation of old media. Do you see what I'm saying? It's absolutely mind-boggling stupid. But this is what happens when politics are entertainment. Everything becomes stupid. I mean, would you honestly think that anyone who was listening last night was like, oh my gosh, you know, I was all for Ron DeSantis until they had a glitchy start with the Twitter. Now I'm not going to vote for him ever. I mean, do you honestly think that? You really think that those conversations were had or that thought was ever seriously entertained? Do you think that there was someone listening and going, I love lower taxes and I would like for the government to stay out of my life. And yeah, I also question the FBI. But you know what? That Twitter, the glitch in Spaces, that just did it for me. I'm going to vote for communists. Do you really think that someone thought that? Nobody thought that. No one had that idea. These are journalists that are overreacting because they want you to overreact, too. They can't bitch about his policies in Florida, so they're going to try to find the one thing that went wrong, and they're going to do that, and they're going to jump on that, and they're going to focus on that because they want you to focus on that. Otherwise, they're going to have to talk about how Florida has one of the lowest unemployment rates, has the lowest unemployment rate in the country. They're going to have to talk about how Democrats in Palm Beach were voting Republican for the first time in history in that state. They don't want to have to address that. So let's talk about the Spaces glitch. It's so dumb. I mean, that's who these people are. Yeah, I don't think anyone, like I said, I don't think there was anybody at all that was freaking out about it and actually thought that that's going to be the thing that I think it was an interesting maiden voyage. And I like the fact that it circumvented the legacy press. The end. I mean, I think that's, you know, the end of, I think that's, you know. But yeah, it was interesting. And I thought that the discussion got, when it got really going, I think it got really good. When it got really going, I think it was a very good discussion. And, but there, you know, you have people that were infuriated over it. And then you had Joe Biden. Some of these people, here's one thing I'm going to tell you about. I am very excited to see what wins in this election cycle. Is it Trump derangement syndrome or Ron DeSantis derangement syndrome? What do you think is going to win? TDS or RDS?
It's all derangement.
I'm curious. TDS or RDS? Which one is going to win? Which one is going to win? That's what I'd like to know. I want to know, you know, I want to know who they think is going to win. All right. So this Spaces thing and the announcement, now what makes it real and the gloves are off. And I think that DeSantis is probably about to be one of the most battered candidates in the history of American politics. And that's the thing. Are you up for it? Because it is going to be grueling. Absolutely grueling. And it's going to be, I don't know, it's going to be a wild primary. We have a lot to hit. In addition to that, I also got to get to you media reaction. I want to get to you the debt ceiling, wokery, China, and so much more. We got a lot to hit. When you see judicial rot running rampant and American companies embracing insanity and wokery, you got to fight back, starting with the way that we spend our money. So for years, big mobile companies have dumped millions into leftist causes, and you know, we just kind of took it because another option didn't exist. Well, now one does. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they offer dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you get the best possible service in your area without the woke problem. Propaganda. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call them at 878-PATRIOT and get free activation today with offer code Dana. Ask about their coverage guarantee as well. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
How is retail theft affecting inflation? Target says they've lost almost $1 billion in inventory, and this is just Target. But did Target lose money, or did you? Corporations don't pay taxes because their customers pay those taxes and what they buy, driving the prices way up. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So in France, they've banned short-haul flights to force travelers onto trains. Yeah, it's the climate change cult. What is up with their obsession with rail? I mean, they are absolutely obsessed. They love rail. So apparently, they're going to rule out any like flights between regional hubs like Bordeaux and Paris and Lyon and everything else. And they said that connecting flights, like if you're coming in from longer distances, they said that they've noted the cutoff point for the comparable train journey is shy roughly the 3 hours it takes to travel from Paris to Marseille by high-speed rail. So they passed this law back in 2021, but there had been some back and forth, and carriers, not every carrier, was implementing the regulation, so it just recently took effect. Also, in addition to that, we've got the Supreme Court. They've weakened the EPA power to enforce the Clean Water Act in a 5-4 opinion. So that was some good news. And brain and spine implants that in a paralyzed man have him walking naturally. This is a guy, this study, this is a very interesting thing. It was actually a Japanese study and then the University of Louisiana, but they said that this implant made him walk again. Stay with us. I have some exciting news for those of you who wish that you could be nearer to Hillsdale College. Now, you can be a part of Hillsdale, no matter where you are in the world. In addition to their free online courses, Hillsdale College has created something new, the Hillsdale College Podcast Network. It allows you to learn even more from Hillsdale anywhere at any time. And on the Hillsdale College Podcast Network, you'll hear podcasts that feature conversations with Hillsdale College faculty, staff, friends, alumni, as well as visiting speakers and authors discussing everything from philosophy to theology to history, economics, politics, and current events. Listen to hundreds of episodes on the network, from the Hillsdale Dialogues to the radio-free Hillsdale Hour to the Larry Arn Show, all for free. Get informed and entertained at dana4hillsdale.com. That's dana4hillsdale.com, and learn more about their free online courses and the new Hillsdale College Podcast Network. That's dana4hillsdale.com. Hillsdale College, developing minds, changing hearts.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
First of all, I think it's a great problem to have almost 1 million people crashing the internet. I'd rather have that problem than having no one show up at an event in Iowa and then blame it on the weather. Truth is, Governor DeSantis has an extraordinary track record.
That's Chip Roy, Congressman Chip Roy. Oh my gosh. Welcome back to the show. Dana Loesch here. That's Chip Roy. I like Chip Roy. He doesn't pull any punches. Neither him nor Massey. Let me tell you guys something. I want to set the stage here for a moment about how things are going forward. Because I know that there's going to be sassy little jabs thrown back and forth, and I'm all right with that. I don't like when our side goes at our side harder than they go after the actual political opposition, right? That always makes, you know, I just can't. Like we had, I didn't get to it yesterday, but we had audio, for instance, of a guy yesterday saying, oh, Trump just needs to get out of the race. And I'm like, I can't stand when people do that because everybody has a right to run. Stop it. I cannot stand that when I hear it on either side. And when it gets into the primary, just a quick note on this, and then I want to talk about the Twitter stuff, because the media is apoplectic and they're trying to figure out some way to go at this. Because you guys know that I set up, you know, for the primary, I'm like, you know, DeSantis has my vote. Now, know this. I don't dislike some primary candidates just because I prefer another candidate's policies. Let's be super clear about this. It's a primary. And that's the purpose of primaries, right? I mean, primaries are not some sort of formality of allegiance. They're primaries. I mean, we have choices because we live in a republic with democratic processes, and we are not a monarchy. I mean, we don't pledge fealty to leaders because America isn't about leaders. America is about liberty. It's a big difference. Leaders are supposed to pledge their fealty to the ideals you authorize them to promote through the power of your vote, the consent of your vote. And I think this is what conservatism is. You know, the individual is more powerful than the state, and the people have more power than the government, and the government and the elected officials serving within are there to serve the people. Right. That's where a lot of people today. And I think this was, I don't know what conservatism is about, protecting this and valuing people more than the politician. And somehow this got just totally backwards the past several years. Maybe even longer than that. I think there are some people today that put themselves second to not to country, but to politicians. They put themselves second. So instead of choosing a politician to fight for them, they're demanded to fight for a politician. I don't like that. And not every reaction to everything either, every slight or every word has to be turned up to 11. We are all not K Street operatives, right? Y'all aren't, we are not, you're not some slovenly operative whose literal actual neck sandwich is afforded by how well or how zealously they venerate a politician. You aren't those people. I'm not those people. We ain't those people. So think about that. Because, you know, it's going to get, everyone's like, oh, it's going to be a horrible, it's going to be a ridiculous primary. But just remember that the fealty is to the principles on which this nation was founded, not to leaders or personalities. And just because you may prefer one elected official's policies doesn't mean you hate other elected officials. And as far as I'm concerned, I am so anti-authoritarian. I am unabashedly transactional. Who's going to leave me alone the most? Who's going to cut my taxes? Who's going to abolish the ATF? Who's going to leave my guns alone? Who's going to leave our kids alone and let parents lead? I like to see results. I like to see the work. That's what I like to see. I'm going to call balls and strikes. I always have and I always will. But I just like to be up front with you. I'm not going to be like some people that you see on TV who are actually, you know, on the background, you know, talking to these candidates, because believe me, a lot of the people that you see and listen to are, but they're just not being forthright with you. Now, I don't talk to the candidates. I'm just telling you who I like. Big difference. Now, that being said, this media, the media reaction, this is a fascinating thing. And whether you are on Twitter or even that you paid attention to the spaces, this becomes not even about the election anymore. This comes to be about a fight over the distribution of information and how you consume information. And by that, I mean, who is the gatekeeper of what you consume? That's really what's at stake here. I cannot tell you how many politicians I saw who were livid, or media people who were livid because they didn't get to control the discussion. They didn't have their people asking the questions. There were people who were slamming David Sachs and Elon Musk because they thought that, oh, well, you can tell that they don't, you know, they don't interview people. You can tell that they're not. You know what, though? Doesn't that make it more organic? Doesn't that make it a little bit more organic? Because I feel like it does. And Musk just wanted to facilitate the conversation. And I got to give him credit for that. Because like I said yesterday, Twitter went from being a place that was kicking off actual journalists for sharing legitimate reporting and acting as an agent of state to now hosting Republican presidential candidates. That's huge. And I think that I read this piece today. NBC said, oh, Twitter solidifies its place in the conservative media world. They want you to think, oh, no, this is a conservative thing. And they're not saying this for the conservatives. They're saying this for the independents and moderates, because that is who this, that's who that event was designed to reach. Because I think everybody else knows that, oh, looks like he's going to run. And they kind of, they know what his, like, you all know what his policies are because you guys pay attention to stuff. And even if you're super busy, you make the effort to do it. It's something that you prioritize. Not everyone thinks the same way. And that's why I think it was very telling and smart. And I hope every presidential candidate does this. I think they need to. But the legacy press wants to poison the mind of those independents and try to plant that seed and say, oh, well, this is a, they're a conservative. It's conservative. Really? Elon Musk was smoking pot with Joe Rogan on his podcast, and he flirted with the idea of liking socialism, Sanders style. Honestly, do you really think that? Come on. He just likes free speech. But the media cannot, they cannot abide. They cannot abide it. Biden mocked the Twitter Spaces event. He shared a tweet saying this link works to donate to his campaign. I asked, but what about your policies? I mean, it's true. Like, what about your policies? And it was, Fox News even called it amateur hour, which I thought was kind of funny. I'm like, oh boy, everybody's mad. It was a maiden voyage. Here's the one thing that I saw, though, too. I saw this collection of headlines. The Daily Mail. Oh, my gosh. They, again, remember what I told you. The press wants to, like when Truth Social launched and they had all these problems, you saw how the media treated that. I mean, oh, disastrous launch for Trump with Truth Social. Oh, disastrous launch of Twitter Spaces, DeSantis presidential bid. This isn't about anything other than them trying to portray any challenger in a negative light. But it was weird to see the Trump people put out the headlines, though, for it, I will say. I'm like, wait a minute, it's fake news until it's not, I guess. What? Like, why are we promoting the fake news that literally ran the Russian collusion stuff on you? Why are you doing this? Who put this out there? Which operative, which one of your dumb operatives put that out there? Come on. Now, speaking of Biden's, because I got, we're going to get into that. We're also going to get into some of the wokery as well with the Target stuff and the debt ceiling. We're going to get into all of that. The debt ceiling, speaking of which, it stalled out. Apparently, they talked till midnight last night. While all of this was happening, they were trying to hammer something out for some kind of agreement. And new polling, this comes, there was, two different surveys yesterday, including one from CNN, actually, that was the day before, showing that was like 60-something% of people, they don't want any more spending. Now another one is out, another survey showing that 47% would blame Biden for a default, 44% would blame GOP. This was a Fox poll, but then there was also one of the surveys from the other day, which was trying to apportion blame. This is actually very interesting, because typically in these sorts of surveys, previously, like when they had the debt ceiling showdown, this was, I want to say 14, when they had a big debt ceiling showdown and everyone said Ted Cruz is going to lose re-election because he was one of the ones in the Senate responsible for leading the opposition to it. And Obama was like he had a double digit. When they looked at the surveys as to who you would blame, it was double digit blaming Republicans and singular for Democrats, even though it again, it was kind of the same situation. Republicans had proposed something. They had brought a bill out of committee and Democrats did not want to look at it or negotiate because they wanted an increase in spending. So it's pretty much the same scenario, but now people understand and they're following it. And I think that a lot, I have to give McCarthy credit. I think he's been really good on messaging on this. He has said over and over again, to the point where we're all annoyed at hearing it, that, oh, they've passed a bill. They've passed a bill. Guys, guess what? They passed a bill. They passed a bill in April. Passed a bill. They passed a bill in April. I mean, he says it over and over again. They were even working with Democrats on it. Democrats won't come to the table. And it doesn't help that Joe Biden, I think he's only been seen twice talking with McCarthy. And it both happened this week. So that's bad for them. That is so bad for them. Credit agencies have put the U.S. on negative watch just in case no deal is struck. Comes by way of the Hill. Fitch Ratings, they place the U.S. credit on a negative watch as lawmakers struggle to reach a deal on the debt ceiling before the country goes into default. America's AAA rating, highest possible, was put on notice for a potential downgrade. And they're trying to say, well, if Republicans fail to raise the debt limit, and they're giving Democrats a total talking point. It's not if, well, Democrats need to rein in spending. It's Republicans got to raise them the amount of debt that Democrats can spend us into. That's what they're looking at. Pretty unbelievable. But actually, no, it's not. It's totally believable. Man. Now, as all of this has been happening, and we're going to dive into this here in a little bit later, Target has been moving. I mentioned this yesterday. The Tuck clothing displays. And they apparently had sent out this memo. Greg Price posted this, where they sent out a memo, the CEO, Brian Cornell, an internal email to all the employees saying, quote, yesterday was a very hard day for Target. As CEO, Brian Cornell said, thank you for the care you've shown to each other, our frontline teams and the Alphabet community. They said, today brings more reflection, pain, and the need for continued cares. Our team, hometown, and world. Remember, they talk about George Floyd. As we remember George Floyd. They sent this out. They sent out an...
hold my other beer.
Yeah, hold my other beer, as Kane said. Oh, man. Folks, your financial freedom is at stake when the government thrives on creating unrelenting inflation, an astronomical debt, crippling interest rates, and market turmoil that we haven't seen in decades. And now you have an administration that wants to tax everything that you have to fund runaway entitlement spending. You should empower yourself with opportunity and the freedom to pursue success and to keep the fruits of your hard work. And if you want to protect your future, you should call a precious metals dealer that I trust, American Hartford Gold. They can show you how to protect your savings and retirement accounts by diversifying your portfolio with physical gold and silver. And all it takes to get started is a short phone call. And American Hartford Gold can have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside your IRA or 401k. They make it easy. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Munchkin said...
What? So... that's KJP at the White House press conference. She's talking about Steve Mnuchin. Yeah. The word you're looking for is Mnuchin. What did she say again? Hit me one more time. Oh, wrong thing. That actually was perfect, though.
Munchkin said...
Mnuchin. She legit called that man Munchkin. KJP, The Nordstrom pipeline lady. How did she say emeritus? I can't even say it wrong.
Emeritus.
Emeritus. She made it sound like a disease.
Yeah, it made it sound like it's like your hands hurt.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. So yeah, that's wow. What else has she said wrong? Oh my gosh, what hasn't she said wrong? She's pronounced everything. She can't pronounce things. It's Steve Mnuchin. How do you get that name incorrect? I mean, that's kind of part of your job when you are the press person. You go out and you need to know these names.
Remember when she said the Nobel Prize instead of the Nobel Prize?
That's the other one I was thinking of. The Nobel. It's very noble, the prize. Yeah, there you have it, folks. Oh my gosh. I tell you what. It's something else. It is something else. I actually appreciate the her inability to pronounce anything. At this type of it made us think you can go ahead and hit that. Although do we gotta pay copyright on this for the
I don't think so.
Oh, Juan's giving us the no no.
What? So Steve has to play?
No.
Can Steve play it for the radio audience?
Juan is so cautious.
Steve, you can play it for the radio audience.
Yeah, but the people in the simulcast will have no idea that we were playing the actual Munchkinland song from Wizard of Oz. That's so sad. That's so sad. The licensing's like a frillion $11 million, right? You know. But I can't. It's just too much. All right, so coming up, I missed that because we have the Governor Ron DeSantis on in our top of our third hour, and I kept thinking this is the middle of our second hour. You'll have to forgive me because I was working late preparing all the headlines and everything for you last night. But coming up, Target's moving their Tuck clothing displays, and I don't know what this means. I saw this headline and I just laughed. The trans movement is hitting the toilet in Oregon.
What?
I'm going to just leave it like that right now. Calvin Klein wants to have a stupid off with Target and Bud Light. They are challenging them. Who can be dumber? We're going to see. We'll have that discussion as well. And what's going to win, TDS or RDS? Is it Trump derangement syndrome or Ron derangement syndrome? Which one will win? Choose your fighter. We've got that as well coming up. The Bidens, Law and Order. Oh, yeah, we got a lot you don't want to miss. And make sure, again, you can watch the simulcast, YouTube, Facebook as well, of the radio program. Back in just a second. You don't want to miss. We got a lot to hit. Stick with us.
Do you have regrets? Do you have regrets that your party did not raise the debt ceiling when it was in the majority?
It's not my understanding that the challenge was not addressing the debt ceiling because Democrats refused to do it. But it's my understanding that Republicans in the Senate were unwilling to discuss this issue last December, perhaps because they wanted to set up a hostage-taking situation.
He did not like that question. That's Hakeem Jeffries, who is the head of the DNC, head of the party, head of the Democrat Party there. I mean, he's the leader in their house. Oh, my gosh. And he's saying he was asked this question. OK, well, you know, your party, when you guys control both chambers of Congress, apparently, you know, if it was so important, if the debt ceiling was so important, then why didn't you raise it when you controlled both chambers of Congress? I think that's a legitimate question. He couldn't really answer. This is bad for them. Welcome back to the program. Your lovable little curmudgeon, Dana Lash, here with you, as always, to kick off your Thursday. I almost made you relive yesterday. to kick off your Thursday. And we'll see if we get any kind of discussion. Any kind of negotiation. The Democrats are in a bad spot. And the weirdest thing is that they've hung their hats on some of the most insane requests, i.e. the example that I gave, demanding that everyone assume someone else's student loan. That was one of the things that, you know, that's one of the things that they were demanding, that they said that they weren't going to compromise on for debt ceiling. People are broke. They don't want to pay some grad school bill. And it is a grad school bill. I told you that. It's an absolute grad school. That's what it is. That's what we're The Office of Management and Budget. They were the ones who came, who went and looked, looked at the hard numbers. So this is only going to get worse for them as it goes. I didn't even look at his approval today, but I can imagine. I kind of take a peek at it every day. It's just in the garbage every day for Biden, and I would imagine it's a little lower. So it's not going to. There's the clean deal. The clean deal, meaning let's have no spending, and here's what we're going to do. We're not going to have, you know, we're not going to add all of this other junk that you want in there. I mean, this was actually preferred, you know, 2-1. This came out among Monmouth University poll. They had said that, you know, the public has heard, you know, quite a bit about this, and they were saying that this Monmouth University poll says a plurality agrees with the predictions the country will suffer significant economic problems if it's not raised. But yet at the same time, they also want a clean deal. 2-1, they want a clean deal. So don't just, but so the polling's there. And this is why Democrats are freaking out. This is why they're having their own little inter-party war over this. Now, some of the other stuff that we've been watching as well on, I wanted to get to this story that pulled us up. This was a fascinating look as to what your tax dollars are being spent on and how the DOJ is involved in this and DHS is involved in this. The Media Research Center found a DHS anti-terrorism program that has been weaponized against anyone who's basically not a Democrat. 80 grants and nearly 40 million taxpayer dollars later, you've had Alejandro Mayorkas and the Biden administration outsource their efforts to purposefully conflate conservatives with terrorists. And this kind of, remember when the FBI was classifying parents as domestic terrorists and actually using the Patriot Act as a way to expedite some of this? Well, this is what MRC found. This is incredibly damning. They said that the University of Dayton is one of the most radical grant recipients for the program. They received $352,000 to fight domestic violence, extremism, and hate movements. Biden's DHS awarded the grant, MRC says, despite the application including a very insane chart that pyramided together conservative entities, and then they added a bunch of symbols for like Nazi groups and white supremacy groups. They actually used this crazy chart. It included the GOP, the Heritage Foundation, the ACU, Fox News, CBN. Who else did they include in there? Quillette. Oh my gosh, Turning Point. They all these things in here. They put a Trump hat in it. It's like the food pyramid, but with groups. And then at the very top, they literally have like Nazi symbols. That's what they put in their actual, that was the chart that they had included in their application. Juan's showing it on the simulcast. They literally put that chart in their application for this grant, a taxpayer-funded grant. And one of the seminars, as they noted, featured this DHS agent, Joseph Mastalix. I think that works. Who was saying that, well, we have a whole society approach. He said, you know, at DHS, we just support the locals lead. That's what they were saying. And they said that in this, in their slideshow and in their discussions, they were intimating that they fund by way of their grants the things that that were in line with how they saw anti-terrorism, the push against anti-terrorism. So if you think that parents speaking out at school boards are terrorists, then you'll probably get a grant from DHS. This is crazy. It was the pyramid of far-right radicalization. And they were saying, yeah, this is totally legal. They were talking about how anti-fascists could pressure service providers to kick people off if enough people decided if enough leftists decide that, you know, organizations like the ones in the food chart pyramid there were white supremacists. I mean, this is it's every single department. Every single department is infiltrated, is infected with this. I will say, especially as it relates to the FBI, because I understand, you know, people like Chip Roy and even Thomas Massie who've reiterated this, that one of the reasons that we even know about all of this stuff with the FBI and with DHS, et cetera, is because of whistleblowers within the organizations. So the rank and file are pushing back against what leadership has been doing, because that's how a lot of people have been getting these videos. That's how they've been getting notices about what applications have been submitted for what. That's how we got, it's one of the ways that we got, you know, this, what we were just talking about, especially with this, I don't know, what is it, the far right radicalization pyramid that they have. It's also one of the ways that we know about a lot of the Hunter Biden laptop stuff and the IRS whistleblowers and all of this, because people rank and file have been putting it out there, have been releasing it. Do you know what's missing in this entire conversation in the media landscape? Is the battle between rank and file and leadership in all these departments. Now, you would think if you, you know, were actually interested in doing, you know, serious reporting about some of this stuff, you would think that you would cover this in some way. Don't you find that interesting? I mean, think about it. Rank and file agents, whether they're in the IRS or the FBI or in DHS, stepping out and saying this is being done to average everyday Americans and it is a problem. And there are enough of them speaking out and taking up whistleblower protections by going through the proper channels at Congress. I mean, it's a serious thing. Why would the media is not reporting on this? In any other instance, they love whistleblowers, except when they're not whistleblowers, like in Vindman's case. But in any other situation, they love whistleblowers. But not when the whistleblowers are telling on what they're doing. Think about how many people in the media were complicit with the Russian collusion stuff, for instance. Speaking of that, a second Hunter Biden IRS whistleblower came forward. Another one. And they've said that retaliation, it is real, for raising concerns that the DOJ leadership acted inappropriately into that investigation into Hunter Biden. The Washington Examiner reported that another IRS agent came forward and was also removed from this investigation. So this is one of the agents that was removed from this ongoing investigation that started in 2018 into the tax violations because Hunter Biden, I mean, there's video of him. Did you see this? And I saw a screen cap of it. There is video. This was back in 2013 of him going with, I think it's his daughter Finnegan, Hunter Biden going with his daughter, with Joe Biden to China on business when Joe Biden was vice president. That was literally the exact same time they were cutting a lot of these deals with Rosemont Seneca and others. I mean, the evidence was right there in front of you the whole time. So now this, whether or not they claimed, you know, how much money they were receiving from the CCP, whether that is in a negative effect on national security, that's one of the reasons why this 2018 investigation kicked off. Also, they were triggered because the family was trying to hide the money. They had over 170 suspicious activity reports because they were moving around giant sums of cash that they had been given by the CCP into all these shell companies. So now this other whistleblower who's come forward says, yeah, we were removed from the case as a form of punishment because they were doing too well. It sounds like they were coming across evidence. There was enough there to perhaps indict. And so they've hired this one. This agent has also hired a lawyer. And they are coming forward one by one. They're saying that it's been weaponized and abused, and this is not what we were supposed to be doing. This reminds me of the Durham report. Remember, it was page 101, 102. The agents that were having the conversation with themselves about whether or not the reporting that they had been given as evidence to file before the FISA court to get a wiretap on someone just because they were working for a Republican campaign. And these agents were having the conversation with each other that, We just don't know if we can trust this information. Rank and file a step. That's a story. Now imagine if media dug in and started talking to and keeping them off record, all these agents. How many agents, if all of these news entities went out and did the job they were supposed to do, how many other, don't you think that that would empower other agents who have noticed this but have been worried about this sort of retaliation? This was done to chill speech, to chill them speaking out. Don't you think there would be probably a ton more agents coming forward? The media is trying to suffocate the story by not reporting on it. Unbelievable. We have a lot to hit still. The latest with Target. The latest with Law and Order. So do you guys remember the Indian white supremacist who drove his U-Haul into the White House barrier? His charges were downgraded to like nothing. Wait until you hear about this. This is wild. We also have an update on the bike Karen. Those race hustlers. I love how everything is like bird Karen, bike Karen. Golly. We're going to get into all of that. And also the LA Dodgers stunt. We got that. We have a ton.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right. So this is asinine. A Wyoming welder is facing $16 million in fines. But he beat the EPA finally. They were fighting him over his stock pond. He's out in the middle of nowhere on a many, many acres. And he had a little herd of livestock. And he built a stock pond back in 2012. And it's a little tiny stock pond. And then he did everything. He got the state permit, all this stuff. Well, then the EPA said, nope, even though you did everything and everyone said it was fine, we're going to try to fine you $37,000 a day because you didn't come and kiss our butt before you built your tiny little pond, which is filled by a natural stream. It's only 40 by 300 foot. So he took him to court and fought it all the way and won. But they made his life a living hell up to then. By the way, I learned everything about hating the EPA from Ghostbusters. Mm-hmm. Remember, they were the reason why Zool was there. They were the reason that all happened because of them. That was EPA. Mm. Also, this is wild. We're going to talk about this. The charges, remember the Indian white supremacists who drove the U-Haul into the White House barrier? Okay, they were significantly downgraded. Yeah. The truck was empty. They laid out a Nazi flag on the ground. They said that it was a hate crime, all this stuff. But his federal charges were downgraded to one single count of depredation of property of the United States. It seems like they're trying to make that go away. Just that's what it sounds like to me. Maybe you too. Stay with us.
Whether you just want to stay informed or just hear her vent about all the ridiculousness in the world, make sure to download the Dana Show podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm so glad you raised that poll because I think it's really important to look at what that poll says. If you just say to people, should we cut spending? They will probably say yes. However, if you say, would you rather cut spending and reduce the deficit by cutting the tax breaks to the wealthiest corporations and wealthiest individuals? Or would you like to cut your own health care, education, care for veterans, etc., I guarantee you that you would have even higher numbers that say, let's make sure that we're making the wealthy pay their fair share.
That's the other thing we've been saying to the Republicans.
That's
not what the poll says. This is the exact question that was asked of voters. What should Congress do on the debt ceiling? Mm-hmm. Raise only if spending cut, 60%. Raise no matter what, 24%. Not raise, let U.S. default, 15%. These are what they are saying to this critical question.
Yeah,
go ahead.
No, I understand. But Poppy, you can't take tax cuts out of spending.
Yes, you can.
This is what happens when Jay Paul speaks about taxes. Good. This is what happens to all of America.
Oh, man.
Get that. Make it a gif. I dare you. Oh, my gosh. That's premier Jay Paul.
Exactly how I felt.
It's literally what all of our brains did just then, listening to this woman speak about taxes. Kane's about to throw. We were actually saying, what can we throw with the camera? And he's like, do you have a plushie? I don't have a plushie. I'm a grown ass woman. I don't have plushies.
It's expensive cameras.
Don't be tossing
anything big and heavy at it.
Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash with you, bottom of the second hour, with Florida Governor joining us at the top of our third. Congresswoman Jayapal was saying, she was on CNN. I can't remember. Did she call that lady Pappy? Isn't her name Poppy Harlow?
Poppy, yeah.
I swear I thought she said Pappy. I was like, I don't think that chick's name is Pappy Harlow. Just, she said that the poll finding the vast majority of Americans want Congress to cut spending really means that people want higher taxes. I mean, if you tell people, do you want to die in the street? Because that's what's going to happen if you don't raise taxes. You're going to die to death in the street. That's what's going to happen.
Yes, if you ask them a straightforward question, of course they'll give you a straight answer. But if you ask them in this roundabout way of confusing words, they'll give the answer government wants.
Yes, it's a push pull.
Right.
That's it. I mean, it's like they ask this question. If you were drowning and only the government could save you with a life raft, would you want the government to throw you a life raft?
Yes, government.
Yes, yes, please throw me a life raft. And then it's 100% of people want government to save them. That's how they do it. That's what this is.
So true.
But she's like, you can't cut spending without increasing taxes. Yeah, actually, you can. It's amazing how that works. So crazy. Hey, guess what? If you don't send $311 billion to Ukraine for who knows what, then you don't have to take $311 billion from American taxpayers. Oh, that's $311 billion taxpayer dollars that isn't going somewhere that's not their pocket. Oh, what? But they don't understand that because they think that, you know, in her head, she's like, but this is our money. You know, she's thinking that. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Go ahead and say it, Kane. You say it.
I mean, if you don't stop spending, then you'll never be able to stop adding taxes. Like, you'll always have that need for more taxes because you can't stop your stupid spending.
They're junkies.
Exactly.
They're junkies. At least the people falling all over on their own feces and needles in San Francisco and L.A., I mean, at least they're honest about it. These people are junkies. Exactly. That's exactly what it is. Oh, my gosh. But that's their all. It's their, they want to spend. They want to spend, spend, spend. On what, though? What are you trying to spend? You cannot spend your way to prosperity. That's never, literally, never going to, that's never going to work.
Never will.
I went back. I'm not going to bore you guys to death. I don't know what happened. It's like sometimes I'll be doing research for the show and then I trip over into a rabbit hole. And I was looking back at all the tax revenue from the beginning of collecting taxes. I know. And whenever, shocking, because Kennedy said this back in the 60s. He even noted that government taxes too much. And I can't believe I'm saying it because he's one of those Democrats. Well, he's dead now, but he's one of those Democrats. He would totally be ostracized and run out on a rail in his own party today.
Oh, yeah.
But the point that he was making was that, you know, when the government isn't taking all of your capital and taxes, then actually revenues do increase to the government because there's more. I mean, for the lack of a better way to put it, to move on to another topic, there's more organic activity. The government actually seen more of it. I mean, this is basic econ 101 that apparently they don't teach in schools anymore because we are one of the most financially illiterate. I think some of Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z are some of the most financially illiterate people on God's green earth.
Absolutely.
It's sad. That's why you got to teach them young. Teach them to hate taxes young, just like the Ghostbusters taught me how to hate the EPA.
Right.
What was his name? Gordon somebody?
Yeah, it was.
That guy, that wound up dude. Shut it down. I'm not responsible for what. Shut it down. I'm like, I hate you, EPA. I hate you. Since a kid. All right. Can we talk about, a couple of things. I wanted to hit some woke. I know we call it, well, I do get tired of saying the word woke. Steve hates it. He dies inside every time we say it. He hates that word so bad. You know what? It's faster than saying the new cultural Marxist theory and then getting into that.
Right.
It's so much easier. And then having to explain, it's easier to, so, you know, we get it. So Target, they've lost over $8 billion in market value.
Ouch.
Now, this is what gets me mad. I see headlines like this. It says retail giants spat in the face of conservatives. This is not, guys, can we just stop with that? If anything, what this has proven is that it is not just a conservative thing. You got moms and dads out there that ain't conservative, that are like, gee, maybe we don't want like a swimsuit in the boys section telling him how to tuck his Frank. Like, let's not have this. This is ridiculous. No pun intended, but you know what I mean? It's just, this is wild. And all of the, like the Ulta partnerships and everything else that we're seeing. And I think coupled with the women losing in sports, parents are seeing this. This isn't just a conservative thing. This is an American, this is a common sense thing. It's not a conservative. It's not a you have Democrats and Republicans, cats and dogs living together, mass hysteria. It's just, it's a common sense thing. I absolutely hostily reject the idea that this is just a conservative thing. It's not. I mean, have you seen, by the way, in the UK, some of the loudest voices against the trans stuff in the UK have been what we would define as left-leaning second-wave feminists. And they are the ones out there that are literally, actually, physically fighting with male misogynists cosplaying as women in the streets. I'm not even exaggerating. So this is not a conservative thing. It's a common sense thing. So they've lost a lot of cash. They sent out, I told you I was pulling this up, Greg Price got a screen cap of it. They sent out this email. I mean, I don't think anybody that's around them has any more arms to hold their beers. They said, yesterday was a very hard day for Target. And as CEO Brian Cornell said, thank you for the care you have shown each other, our frontline teams, and the Alphabet community. Today brings more reflection and pain and the need for continued care. This is the email. As our team in hometown and world remember the anniversary of George Floyd's murder. They actually wrote, this is a thing. Then they have a whole thing about it. That's what Target sent out in their little interdepartment email. I would just maybe focus on not tanking your company. I know it's a wild proposal. They've moved the tuck clothing. Gavin Newsom was having a fit over it. He was very upset. He accused the store of unfairly attacking the transgender and gay community. Those are two different things, by the way. Criticizing Brian Cornell, the CEO, for catering to protesters. Can I just say that it wasn't just about the pride stuff? Did you see the wording that was on a lot of the kids' clothing? I mean, it was really, parents were objecting to the wild inappropriateness. It's one thing if, I can't believe I got to say this. It's one thing if you're an adult and you go to a drag show. It's one thing if you're an adult and you go to a pride thing. It's one thing if you're an adult, you know, and you do something that with other adults, you know, in an adult area or whatever. But when you're talking about kids, I think that parents deserve the respect of being able to determine what is or what is not appropriate for the children that they're raising. And that's what this comes down to. It comes down to age appropriateness. And I just, didn't we just make fun of the prostitute stuff like 10 years ago? Were we not making fun of prostitute stuff? It is wild to me that all these people that have such a huge problem with like little kitty beauty pageants have no issue with some of the merchandise that was on display where it literally was talking about genitals, literally on the clothing. I what in the world? This is what we're talking about. Or like the swimsuits, they would have an actual female swimsuit in the boys section, and then it would have a giant tag on there. And this is all over the internet. Don't take my word for it. And it would talk, I mean, on the tag, it was talking about how to tuck your stuff. And these are kids, dude. These are kids. This is the whole issue. This is what people are objecting to, the appropriateness of it. I don't know anyone that wouldn't agree on that issue. But see, they want to present it as Republicans or conservatives being anti all of it so that they can rope in the people who think, well, yeah, you know, adults should be able to determine. That's not what anybody's talking about, though. They're talking about should your like 4-year-old. That's the issue. That's what we're talking about. Appropriateness. Because some kids can't handle some things. I mean, my gosh, I could not handle certain issues when I was 5 that I could when I was, you know, 16. There's a difference. Are we so stupid as a species that we don't recognize that anymore? Holy hell, we deserve to get just absolutely flattened and turned to mush by an asteroid. We really do. But that's what gets me. So Target issue, I want to add this too. This was a video. Hang on, I know we got to get moving, but I wanted to, what audio soundbite was this? This was audio soundbite 10. I don't like going after employees. Now, it's one thing if an employee gets in your face, right, and is being, you know, ridiculous. But I don't like targeting random employees. And one customer did that and was recording this this woman on camera, and she was very collected and very... I didn't like it when people did it with the Chick-fil-A employees. Remember back 10 years ago when people started targeting the Chick-fil-A employees? I didn't like it with that, and I don't like it with this. This is Audio Soundbite 10.
Hey, do you guys support the Satanic Pride propaganda?
Yeah, both.
You support it?
Satan and Pride.
You support Satan?
Mm-hmm.
What's God going to think of that?
I don't believe in God.
Wow. Did
you need help with something?
You support the propaganda that's targeting the kids?
There's nothing targeting kids.
It's all over kids' TV shows. It's all over. They're targeting the kids.
Kids can choose to wear whatever they want.
Do you support the sexualization of kids through pride propaganda by corporate?
Is there something that we can help you with?
I'm just asking people questions. What about you, sir? Do you support this?
I'm not answering any questions, but if you're here to cause any disturbance in the store...
I'm just asking questions. Do you work for Target?
Disrupting,
do you work
yes,
for Target?
I do, actually.
Where's your name tag?
I am the undercover loss prevention.
Oh, okay.
So...
I'm just asking questions. So do you support the satanic propaganda?
I'm not answering your questions. What you need to do is you either need to leave the store...
God will judge you guys.
Okay.
I mean, I can't. He won't if I don't believe in it.
And also, is that our shirt?
Yeah, it is.
Are you going to purchase that shirt?
Hey, ma'am, do you support this?
What did I just say?
You support pride propaganda? Whoa, I'm buying this.
I need you to...
I'm going to buy it and burn it.
Let me interject. Okay, let me interject here. I don't think this is the best way to go about it. And do I think that the female, she was calm and collected. Do I think she's nuts? Yes, of course I do. And I, you know, legitimately and without any trace of irony, I mean, I think you should say a prayer for her, for real. But I don't believe that just talking to random employees in the store is the way to do it. I think that actually undercuts... People have been doing a great job so far at showing. I mean, it was a mom that was going through. It was actually a couple of moms that were going through the store saying that they went in to get stuff for their kids and they saw this stuff and were like, oh, and they recorded video. And that's what started all of this. And it was them just genuinely reacting to this stuff and they weren't targeting anyone. And that actually allowed, because they weren't aggressive, it actually showed the merchandise. The merchandise itself was more aggressive than the reaction of the moms. And I think that's kind of the key here. I think that this, you don't want to look like the aggressor, because the stuff that we're objecting to is aggressive enough.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right. So first up, I had a really quick update. So remember the guy who had his arm chomped off by an alligator on Sunday, and then how it was because he fell in a pond and he said it was no big deal. Well, now it's because he skipped the line at the bar bathroom and he went to take a leak by the pond. I know the guy who had his whole arm chomped off by a gator behind the Banditos bar. That legit happened. So just saying, maybe don't ever do that. Don't just wait in line and never go by any water ever. Let's see. Miami Herald, a Florida woman in a pink dress stole a $120,000 tractor, Florida cops say, and then it got weird. Miami Herald, a woman wearing a pink dress is accused of carrying out a series of odd thefts in a rural Florida community, one of which involved riding off on someone's $120,000 John Deere tractor, according to Polk County Sheriff's Office. They said the 46-year-old, why she wanted it is unclear, but detectives note it was not the strangest thing taken during the spree. Bed sheets, blue jeans, toiletries, camouflage wading boots, several packages of frozen venison, and a bottle of wine. I'm sorry, but that sounds like a fun night. Were also stolen from a home, according to an affidavit. And she apparently also slept in one victim's bed.
What?
Yes, they said. So she's facing 3 misdemeanors, 35 felonies. And... She stole John Deere tractor while wearing a pink. So she just like went on a crazy spree. It was in, they said, an area 30 miles northeast of Tampa, the Kathleen area. And it was a neighbor who first called the cops because he saw a woman in a pink dress just driving a tractor down the road. And they said, well, we know that's our neighbor's tractor and we don't know who that woman is. So There you go. All right, up next, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, presidential candidate. Welcome back to the program, top of this third hour, this Thursday with you. You're a lovable curmudgeon, Dana Lash here, and you can listen coast to coast all around the country. You can stream the radio program. You can also watch the simulcast of it, YouTube, Facebook, and Channel 347 DirecTV. So without further hesitation, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who just yesterday announced his bid for the highest office in the land, the most powerful position in the world, that of the presidency. And he joins us now via Skype. He's on the campaign trail, has a busy schedule. And I have to say, Governor, I appreciated the spaces discussion yesterday because it was new. Conservatives have long been wanting for a new means of distribution. It was fun. It sounded like you had fun as well. You probably do more of them.
Yeah, you know, I'd never done it before. And so I was sitting there ready to go. And then they got overwhelmed with so many people trying to join. I think the most they had was like 100,000 in the past. They had 700,000 in the room, but there were many, many more that were trying to go in. And so I was just kind of waiting for it to happen that it did. And then we went on and got it done. But I think the fact that Elon and Twitter were involved, for conservatives, that's meaningful because we've seen how big tech has tried to censor our voices. Yeah. Including things I've done as governor during COVID. Google, YouTube took down videos. And so that got a lot of cachet. I think there were a lot of people that probably ended up listening to it or will listen to it in the coming days who may not have followed what I was doing if I did a traditional campaign thing. And so I think we got a lot of play out of it. And if people are able to listen to my positions and be able to talk about things that were debunking some of the corporate media narratives, you know, that's probably going to be very, very positive for us. But we do not need the filter of legacy media for us to run our campaigns. We should speak directly to the American people.
And I think the people appreciate that. So to that point, because I know you're running all around the country, I'm gonna ask you some questions that I know we've heard a lot from just our listeners around the country and just generally American voters. One of the big topics, the debt ceiling, Democrats want to increase taxes. We understand that that's just going to make it worse for everyone else in an inflationary period. If you win the election, you become president of the United States. If Congress defunded the IRS and sent such a bill like that to your desk, number one, would you sign it? And then what would you replace the system with? Are you for like a fair tax, a flat tax? Where do you stand on that?
So the answer is yes. I mean, I think the IRS is a corrupt organization. And I think that it's not a friend to the average citizen or taxpayer. And so we need something totally different. I've supported all of the single rate proposals. I think that they all would be a huge improvement over the current system. And I would be welcoming to take this tax system, chuck it out the window and do something that's more favorable to the average folks.
Yeah. Are we ever going to get a wall?
If I'm president, we will, because we'll declare a national emergency on day one. We'll mobilize the military. We'll mobilize resources as that emergency declaration would allow us to do. And we will not take no for an answer. But you got to be willing to do that on day one. You got to be disciplined about it. You got to be just relentless to make sure it gets done. And you've been involved in this space. I've been involved in talking politics and being involved. We've been promised this immigration stuff for decades, that we would finally deal with it. And we've never been able to get it done. This is the time we have to finally get it done. When we had Hurricane Ian come through Southwest Florida, it knocked out two major bridges. And the local governments were saying, you're going to be stuck on your islands for 6 months. So they came to me and said, can you fix these local bridges? I got my guys together. I said, dispense with the bureaucracy, red tape, no excuses. Get it done. We did one bridge in 3 days. We did the Sanibel Causeway in 2 weeks. And so you just have to be hands-on. You have to hold people accountable, and you can't take no for an answer.
One of the things, and for those listening and not watching the simulcast, we're talking to Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, also the candidate for office of the presidency. If you become president, you would be, Governor, the first president, I think, in 30 years to have served your country in uniform in an area of conflict. So you have seen the realities of war. And I'm curious as to how that influences your foreign policy, given that we are in a very precarious position with Russia doing what Russia's doing, and even, I think, more urgently, China.
Well, I think just in terms of when you would use force, I think being in Iraq taught me that when I was there in Fallujah, Ramadi, these places, you know, I was attached, signed to SEAL Team 1. We had Marines in the area, Army guys. whenever there was a military mission about taking out some terrorists, our guys did it, no problem. We could win those fights. But the overall mission in Iraq involved creating a democracy and doing a lot of things that were just outside the capability of a military force. And so what it taught me is, you know, anytime you commit to use force, you have to have a concrete objective in mind, and you have to be willing to go in and achieve that objective cleanly, and then get out. So, for example, like Afghanistan, obviously you go in and take out Al-Qaeda and the Taliban. I would not have supported 20 years of nation building. I don't think it worked. I don't think it was something that we were going to be able to do. So that's kind of one component. The other component is just our overall national security posture. China's our number one threat. And we've really built our national security strategy since World War II about Europe being the central focus. And that was understandable when you had the Soviet Union. But now you have a peer competitor in the CCP. Their economy is almost the size of ours. They've built up their military dramatically. And I think, unlike during the Cold War, our economy is very much dependent on their economy. I think that's a mistake. I think we need to decouple that, and we need to reshore critical things here. But nevertheless, that's where we find ourselves. So I think the key challenge is going to be, you know, blunting Chinese expansionism and aggressiveness. And I think you do that by having a strong America. And I think when people see that you mean business, you're able to deter threats from actually materializing.
Mm-hmm. Governor, if you become president, what happens to the governorship in Florida?
Our lieutenant governor would take the reins. Jeanette Nunez, she's done a great job. She's been with us on all these different issues. And so you would see continuity in the governor's office. And regardless of that, I am term limited as governor. So there will be a gubernatorial election in Florida in 2026. And no matter what happens, there will be two candidates on the ballot, not me.
Oh, there you go. I wanted to get your thoughts on, you know, we talked, I know where you stand on the Second Amendment. You've been a very strong Second Amendment governor. There have been previous elected officials who, you know, obviously have different stances on different parts of 2A. I wanted to know your thoughts on the idea of taking the guns first and going through due process second.
That's unconstitutional, and it violates the Second Amendment, but I think even more important, it violates the Fifth Amendment, because they can't take anything from you without due process. It's not just firearms. And so the idea that you're seizing people's property and then promising some due process later, that is wrong, and that's not something that I would support.
Yeah. We're talking to Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who's announced his bid for the White House. You had an interview, Governor, just the other day. Some are calling the FBI for the FBI to be abolished. And you had said that you would not keep Chris Wray as the director. When you look at agencies like the FBI and the public trust is just completely eroded to nothing, can they be trusted again? Can it be rehabilitated? What does that take, in your opinion?
Well, I said we'll have new leader on day one, and I think that that's important. But I do think you need to clean house much more than just that, because I think that this is an agency that's developed a really toxic culture. I think it's a culture, particularly in their D.C. offices, that have been weaponized against people that think like you and me. And it's sad that that's the case. But that is the case. So that's a huge, huge undertaking. But one of the things that I will do, I will go in, and I am not going to accept this canard that they're an independent agency. They're part of the executive branch. The DOJ and FBI answer to the elected president, and I will hold them directly accountable. If they're not going after like BLM rioters, I will call them in the office and I will tell them to do it. And if they don't, they will be fired. You cannot say that they're independent and you can't be involved in it. The reason that they become so powerful is because they haven't been held accountable by anybody.
Right. That's a great point. Last super fast question for you. I know you've got to go. Governor DeSantis, is abortion a federal issue? This is one we've been getting from a lot of listeners.
So I think what Dobbs did was it returned it to the elected representatives. I think some things may be federal, but clearly the states have the primary role in that. And I think one of the fears I have is if Biden wins again and the Democrats sweep, they will try to do a federal law to overrule all of our pro-life legislation in places like Florida, where we did the heartbeat bill, Iowa, where they did the heartbeat bill, and they will mandate abortion on demand all the way up until the moment of birth. And so I think we got to promote a culture of life. I think that there are different levels of government that could be involved in that. But I think at the end of the day, we're going to save more lives with a bottom-up approach.
There you go. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, candidate for president. Governor, I told you yesterday, I'm proud to support you. I've been very, very transparent about that. So I thank you for your time. Thank you for your fight. And we're going to be watching.
Yeah, people can go to rondesantis.com and chip in and help us. We've got a great movement going. Dana, we really appreciate your support. God bless you.
God bless you. Thanks, Governor. We have more to come, folks, as we barrel towards our headline segment as well. And a quick note for you all, too, because I like to be very transparent with my audience. You guys know where I stand on issues. And if I prefer one candidate to another, it doesn't mean I dislike or hate one candidate. And I will always call balls and strikes. And sometimes, I mean, it really aggravates our producers because it means that some people just won't come on my show anymore if I've criticized them on certain things. And we've had that happen. But my fealty has always been to liberty. And then after all that, before my fealty is towards any other person on earth, it's towards my audience because, I mean, I consider you guys like friends and family and we've been through thick and thin. So just know that.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I think this is silly fantasy. Oprah Winfrey, they say, could replace Dianne Feinstein in the Senate. This is according to a new report. They are desperate to get Feinstein out. Have you listened to Democrats talk? They don't talk like that about Fetterman. Look, I'm going to tell you, Oprah is not going to run for Senate. She wants to stay in her properties in Hawaii and Montecito, and she just wants to cook with her copper cookware and hang out with Gail and, like, not be doing this stuff. It's never going to happen. Never going to happen. This is a smoking gun. So, apparently, a landlord torched a building in Minnesota as the song "We Didn't Start the Fire" blasted from inside. Investigators allege that Travis Carlson, via smoking gun, 37. I can't believe this guy's 37. He looked, dude, living hard. He burned a Duluth duplex last Thursday morning using gas that he got from his car as accelerant. He's being held in the county jail on $75,000 bond. He was charged with arson, first degree. It's a felony. And they were dispatched to the duplex at 4 a.m. And they arrived. The song "We Didn't Start the Fire" was blaring from the upstairs apartment as it was on fire. Thankfully, nobody was hurt. But it's first degree arson. So he's in a lot of trouble. This, a black half football field-sized triangular UFO is seen hovering over California military base, Abe Base, for 10 minutes before vanishing in dramatic footage taken by Marines in 2021. It was hovering in the night sky at Camp Wilson, and it was on April 20th, 2021. At least 50 Marines saw it, and a number of them recorded the craft just like hanging out before it vanished without a trace. You know what it's aliens, dude. I'm not saying it's aliens, but it's... I'm going to be so mad. One of my sons says, what if it's like time travelers? I would be so livid if it was time travelers because that's so boring. Like, I don't want people from the future. Get out of here. I want like monsters and aliens. That's what I want. According to police, a man shot his roommate over a hot pocket. A Kentucky man. He shot his roommate in the butt after the victim ate the last hot pocket in the freezer. Clifton Williams, 64 and smiling in his mugshot, and the victim got into an argument Saturday night in Louisville. The victim says that Mr. Williams was mad that he ate the... What kind of hot pocket was it? He ate the last hot pocket. And then he said Williams began throwing tiles at him. And then the victim says, this is the police affidavit, that he tried to fight back by trying to beat his A-double snakes. And then they continued to get into it. And as the victim was trying to leave the property, that's when Williams shot him in the butt when he was trying to leave. He's being held on $7,500 bond at the Jefferson County Jail there in Kentucky. There's no word as to what type of hot pocket was taken. I think that's kind of important, just saying, you know. This AI company says that it'll perform a seance on your dead loved ones. Kane says, I didn't think that AI was evil. That sounds freaky. I don't need
AI
it to
is
be
evil.
I don't
AI
need it to be doing that. ABC News says an inmate tunneled through a wall and stabbed a man in a neighboring cell, say prison officials. That's what we call determination, folks. A Georgia inmate tunneled through a wall in a jail facility in Fulton County, Georgia, trying to harm a man in a neighboring cell. Kavian Thomas allegedly dug this hole through the wall in a shower stall. And then he got into the adjacent cell block. And that's when he attacked Durandne Russell, another inmate. I stabbed him multiple times. They were pretty much superficial stab wounds. He was treated in the medical unit of the jail for his injuries. He didn't require hospitalization. I just think, how are you going to be tunneling through a wall? And then, I'm not saying, yeah, and not like actually stab a guy worse than that. Like, you put all this effort into tunneling through. I mean, I'm glad that I'm done. We got more on the way. Stay with us.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all. Live or on demand, The Dana Show.
Bill. So we continue to work to find solutions, and whatever date they give us, we've already have a bill. It's sitting in the Senate. That's why I'm not fearful of a default. But there's also money coming in every single day. But I will take whatever date they give me, and I will work towards it.
I'm also not fearful of a default because that means that they don't do anything. I kind of like it when they don't do anything, right? When they're prevented from doing anything. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. You can catch our interview with the governor. It'll be up on YouTube and Facebook. You chapter and verse subscribers over at Substack, you're going to get that out in the newsletter as well. And this debt ceiling fight, they're not going to, because what House is on a little bit of a recess, although McCarthy told everyone don't leave the country. And that's kind of, I think any of them were going to leave it because it's the extended weekend. It's the observance of Memorial Day. And McCarthy's telling folks, all the people in Congress, don't be leaving the country because something could happen over the weekend. There could be some kind of agreement to which we would need you to come back and we'd hammer this thing out. I don't know if that's going to happen though. You think that's going to happen? Because I don't see that happening personally, but because McCarthy's not going to give in. McCarthy can't give in because the success of him continuing as speaker, and I think he's just so stuck in it. He doesn't want it. He's not going to give anything up. It's just you're going to see how stubborn they can be. And they were really anticipating him not being able to get. I mean, they were basing this on the speakership vote. Without understanding, I think, why that played out the way that it was. I guess they thought, oh, well, he couldn't get them to support him as speaker, so he's not going to be able to get them to stop raising your taxes and the debt ceiling and everything else. Two totally different things. They've really played this poorly. They really have. Now, a few other things that I want to make sure that we are hitting, because it's been a very crazy Newsweek. We've been talking about some of the wokery. I'm going to get into some latest headlines with China. I had two headlines for you, and I wanted to make sure I hit them so I don't leave you confused today. The first part was that I guess the whole issue with the bathrooms in Oregon with the trans issue. Oregon in 2021, I did not know they had passed this thing. Sound so dumb to say. My friend Stephen Green wrote about this at PJ Media. The Menstrual Dignity Act. Why do we need that? Like, who said that there was no dignity? Why do we even have to talk about dignity with it? Who said there was no dignity with it? Guys, we have to have a Dignity Act for every basic biological function. So they had this school called Lake Ridge High School in Oregon. They had an issue with what they said was vandalism because they had put a tampon dispenser in the boys' bathroom. So I guess as part of the Menstrual Dignity Act, they were putting free tampon dispensers in the boys' bathrooms. And I just would like to reiterate, if you are bleeding from your nether regions and you're a dude, you need to see a doctor, not a tampon dispenser. Well, boys being boys, God love them, they did what they felt was necessary. And they ripped the damn thing off the wall and they stuck it into the toilet. Not just once either. And there are photos. So the school sent an email to the parents saying, in the last weeks, we have been combating vandalism in the boys' bathrooms. students have been taking the tampon dispensers down and placing them inside the toilets. We would like your help in stopping this form of vandalism. Now, the school says we are just merely complying with that Menstrual Dignity Act, which requires schools to provide menstrual products in gender-neutral male and female restrooms. So there's nothing, why, my friend Stephen argues there's nothing dignified about any of the bodily functions. That's why there's a door in the bathroom. He's not wrong. I mean, does the term modesty not exist? Does that not exist anymore? You don't have to have recognition for everything. We have become such an indulgent society that we now apparently demand awards and freebies for basic biological things. And it seems as though they put this up, like they started doing this without there even being a need for this. That's the other thing that's weird. I mean, I don't know. But I wouldn't, if this was one of my kids, honestly, I would not punish them. Would you? I wouldn't punish them at all. Mm-mm. No, because I think it's silly. First off, it's entirely silly to do that. And I also like the fact that the boys are speaking out about this, because whenever women try to do anything, they're called bigots for feeling uneasy in their restrooms if you have to share that space with a man who could still be sexually attracted to you. No, I think all these boys deserve like a field trip day, honestly. Like take them to a theme park or something, right? Buy them a new Xbox. I'd be like, let's go to the Xbox. Let's go to GameStop, guys. Let's go. Not even, I totally would, you know what? Because I know I'm going to get the people out there who are like, well, you shouldn't reward vandalism. The vandalism was what was done, not the response to it. Let's be real. Let's be real on that. Now, the other thing, and then we're going to move on to this other stuff. Calvin Klein. Has Calvin Klein always been kind of controversial? I just remember being in high school and didn't they get in trouble for some of their underwear stuff? Their underwear ads? You might remember this, Kane. Didn't they get in trouble for some of that?
Yeah,
back in the day. So they've always kind of been kind of controversial. I'm really sorry for what Juan is probably going to put up on the screen. I had this huge conversation with Kane. I think the one sports bra is photoshopped. So Calvin Klein has this ad where they got a dude who is serious. It's a dude. There's no question about it. He's in a sports bra. And that's part of their ad. The guy's name is Bappy Kortrum. He's from the Netherlands, and he's a trans man who has, what they said, not had top surgery yet. That looks Photoshop, though. It's totally, it is Photoshop, because Kane, if you'll notice, they're like two separate, like that's totally Photoshopped on him. That is entirely Photoshopped. He did not pose on that.
It does look Photoshopped.
Yeah. Especially when in the image, the one I sent you, it's totally like the band looks different. Some of the images.
Yeah,
so anyway, they shared this, and I want to ask a question, because I don't know who does that appeal to? If you look at that, ladies, I'm asking you, if you look at that, part of advertising is psychology, correct? Part of advertising is you want to look that way. Be real. When you look at some of the people wearing some of the clothes, you think, I wonder how that will look on me. And that's how you end up getting something that, you know, looks horrible on you, especially if you're short-waisted and it doesn't, you know, exactly work. But you like the way things look on people, and you try to imagine that working on you. That's part of the psychology. That's human nature. We're trying to destroy human nature. I don't understand who they think that's going to appeal to, because I just see, it just doesn't look attractive to me. It looks like a stretched out sports bra. If that's how they want to advertise and they want to ruin their athletic leisure lines or their clothing lines, I don't know, but I just don't find it. They're morbidly obese. They're obese. That guy's morbidly obese. And I don't know why people are celebrating his unhealthiness, because they think, I mean, remember, you used to have Mark Wahlberg back in the day. Now it's that. That's a big change. But we shouldn't be celebrating morbid obesity. That's unhealthy. Just like you wouldn't celebrate anorexia, you shouldn't be celebrating morbid obesity. It's dangerous and it's not good for the person's health. And I cannot stand this whole thing where everyone is, it's this pathological empathy. But it's not even really empathy. Because actual empathy indicates that you really, you care enough and you're trying to find this common ground. You're trying to empathize with someone. You're trying to help. There's no, it doesn't seem like there's real genuine concern there. Now, the other, to switch gears entirely, that we have been watching is, I have two headlines. I sent this out to you in your email prep. For those of you who subscribe to Chapter and Verse over at Substack, Chinese malware has hit systems on Guam. And some are asking, is Taiwan the real target? New York Times had the story. They said the code, which Microsoft said was installed by a Chinese government hacking group, set off alarms because, well, think of U.S. military response in the Pacific. Where does Guam fit in on that? So that's why a lot of eyebrows have been raised. The New York Times had a pretty decent piece. This is like the second time. First time was when they were going at Alejandro Mayorkas over at DHS for losing all of these illegal entrants, these kids who had been dumped over by coyotes, and we lost like a contact with 100,000 or so of them. So the New York Times had a piece that they ran yesterday about this, and they said that a lot of people are wondering if Taiwan wasn't the actual real target for this, because it, even though, you know, they said it was installed by Chinese government hacking group, set off alarms. And that's because Guam, I mean, again, that would be like a central area for any kind of response that the United States would have in the Pacific. If there's any kind of, you know, military response and a move regarding Taiwan, I mean, Guam's that's a well-known centerpiece for U.S. military there. So Microsoft sent out the warning that, yeah, they compromised critical cyber infrastructure. They said also on top of this was yesterday evening. They said that this group called Volt Typhoon has been in operation since 21. It's a Chinese state-sponsored hacker group. They said they compromised critical cyber infrastructure in a variety of industries, including government and communications organizations. They said this just yesterday. The advisory that Microsoft release said the organization is apparently working to disrupt critical communications infrastructure between the U.S. and Asia so that they can stymie efforts during any kind of future crises. And the NSA even put out a bulletin for this yesterday, detailing how cybersecurity teams should respond. So it is a cold. I mean, we're in a cold war, an undeclared, unacknowledged, undiscussed really by the press to this extent, cold war with China. So this seems pretty open. Like they didn't even care that they were found out. Right? That's the feeling that I'm getting off this. Whew. But hey, keep sending billions to Ukraine, right? Yeah. We have more on the way. We have Today in Stupidity on the way as well. I just gotta close the window where I have that Calvin Klein ad up. That's just, no, I can't deal with that.
Catch the Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Make sure you go to Substack, sign up for Chapter and Verse, the newsletter that goes out. There's a lot of stuff that's been going out. You had some stuff from Lorraine, one of our contributors last night, that went out. We have, obviously, you have the prep emails that go out, so you know what we're going to be talking about. You get advance heads up on guests and all kinds of good stuff. So always a good thing to do. And find us on Facebook and YouTube as well. And prayers for one of our folks who also joins, who watches and streams every day on YouTube. A listener, Bill Papadopoulos, he's in the hospital right now, so our prayers are up for him. The discussion that we had with the governor is going to be up. Some of it's already up on social media, but it'll be up on YouTube as well, and we'll have a rundown of that for all of the listeners out there. So the whole, I mean, like I said, the debt ceiling, because a lot of people ask what's going to happen. I don't think nothing's going to happen until next week. What about you?
Audio that just dropped of KJP, who was asked that a little bit ago, if you want to hear it.
Because, you know, do you think Biden's going to stay in D.C.?
No, he's leaving. He's going to Delaware. No, he's totally going to Delaware.
Let's listen to KJP.
So if there is not a deal, there is no plan B.
What I can say is the only option right now is for Congress to do their jobs without conditions.
Oh, without conditions.
That is the way that...
Without conditions.
Yeah.
They need that spending.
They do.
They need that spending. They want that spending. And why do they want it so bad? We got 2024 coming
That's
up.
That's right. They have 2024. They need to be able to say, hey, we're paying your student loans again. I mean, didn't they tell that? Wasn't that a promise that they made in 2020?
Yeah.
And then it didn't. And they told everybody in 2020 also, you're not going to have to pay your leases and your rent agreements and all of that. You'll have a moratorium for this. And then look how well that went out. That didn't. So they're not really following through with their promises. Doesn't seem like at all. So we'll keep eyes on all of that. And of course, you know, we're going to have all of the latest too with the media reaction ongoing for the spaces. They're still freaking out. I mean, you guys get it. The media is threatened. They're entirely threatened. It's not that Twitter solidified its place in some conservative media world. It's that they broke the media stranglehold, especially on stuff like this. And maybe it wasn't the smoothest launch, but it was an important one and it needed to happen. I'm glad somebody like jumped in there and did it. I'm glad for that. I wouldn't want to take your time. Today's stupidity.
We have plenty of time. There's so much stupidity to go through. It was really hard, really difficult. To decide which one.
I swear you're going to pick KJP again, aren't you?
Oh, no, I'm not.
Oh, actually, my gosh. That's a first.
I know. It's going to be AOC. You're not surprised by that.
Oh, no. No.
So she's saying, hey, who's ever complained about the government doing too much for them? Listen to this.
But they are accusing Democrats of saying we spend too much.
Because you do.
For anyone that wants to entertain that thought, I ask you to think about the last time a person has said in this country that the government does too much for them.
I've actually said a bunch of that for years.
Daily.
Government does way too much.
Daily.
We don't need the government to do much of anything. Article 1, Section 8. All we need. That's it.
Daily. We say this daily, Kane.
Yeah, that's a pesky constitution the Democrats love to ignore.
Like, that's supposed to be a perk? Like, look what all your government can do for you. I mean, you're supposed to be bragging about how much we can do for ourselves and how much government stays out of the way. Government's supposed to minimize so the people are greater.
Government's not a virtue.
That's the whole thing, right? Oh, folks, that does it for us today. I hope you have a wonderful evening. Don't forget Substack, Chapter and Verse, YouTube, Facebook. Find us there. All of our interviews. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening. I'm back Tuesday.